Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Be wise. Stop fighting what is not fighting you. Don't be trigger happy, always waiting to post online. Your words are now weighty. Your words are no more empty. Something has happened to you. Just because nobody called you out doesn't mean that not something has changed. Something has changed. So I saw myself in spirit, like, and I didn't even recognize. When you know how much God has invested in you, you may not be a pastor, you may not be, but look at how far God, I am telling you that when you came to Christ, God did not leave you empty. God did not leave you empty. What you have in you can recreate your world. Journey with the Lord. So that on the day of your coronation, everything will align. You will just come in on that day. The Bible says in the book of Acts chapter 13 that, please put up Acts 13. I'm sharing this here, Harvest World, because this is my constituency. You also that, in case you start seeing me in your dream with long hair. In fact, at some point, I tried to braid, I had my hair, like I braided it into dreads. That's how long they were. So, now they were in the church at Antioch, certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon that was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And Saul. As they ministered to the Lord, and what are we starting tomorrow? You should be excited when you hear it's fasting time. Yeah. Just be excited. Some people now, their moodiness has started. We know the power of fasting. We are not moody. But we pray for grace. He said, and as they, put up that scripture, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost. Did you see that emphasis? The Holy Ghost. Not the Holy Spirit. Oh. That Holy Spirit is very soft. The Holy Ghost said, it's as if he was in the meeting as a separate person. Said, separate this man and this man. Separate them for the work that I have called them. This was, when Saul met the Lord on the road of Damascus, God told him there that he would work for him. From that, on that road, God led him to, what was that man? Ananias. The man baptized him, prayed for him, he started sin. Then God led him to Barnabas. Here. Huh? So Barnabas is the spiritual father of Paul. But Paul was more anointed. But Barnabas was the apostle. It was because of Barnabas that the church received Paul. Huh? Whoever speaks for you, whether in your office or anything, don't find yourself in a place where you speak against them, even if they are wrong. Did you hear me? I say whoever stands for you at any point in your life, even when they are wrong, be quiet, because you are breaking a law. After Paul left Barnabas, he suffered very well. Go and read the book of Acts. But the Holy Ghost said to them, separate them to me for the work whereunto I have called them, verse 3. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them. Now, this was many years after the conversion. Because there's a difference between a calling and a commissioning. The Lord could have called you from your mother's womb. But until God says to Jeremiah, today I have commissioned you. You are not, you have not started. A lot of people are called. They didn't wait to get the commissioning. The difference between the call and the commissioning is time. And inside that time, there's one other factor you are looking for. It's called service. You will never be commissioned if you don't serve. You will never be commissioned if you don't serve. You will never be commissioned if you don't serve. It doesn't, nobody commissions an ambassador that has not been tried. Anyway, that's part one. Part two, we are still talking about altars. So let's go back to Exodus. I will come back to this one. Just remind me. There are many things I say people should remind me. If you don't remind me, I won't go back there. Exodus 24. We talked about building an altar, right? First service. Uh-huh. Now, I want to look at some of the ingredients. And I already mentioned some of them. I said on every altar there must be a sacrifice. Did I not say so? In the New Testament, our sacrifice is the Lord Jesus, the finished work of Christ. And then I also talked about the fact that we must appeal to the mercy of God. Mercy does not always mean sin. Mercy does not always mean you have sinned. But when you see what the Lord is putting in front of you, and the Lord is asking you to approach, you now realize that for me to even move from where I am to where God is asking me to, I need the Lord to give me the grace to go to that direction. Because many times when he says beckon, when he beckons to you and says come, you now realize that you don't even have what it takes to move in that direction. So you pray for mercy. Mercy is for those who know they are not capable. Every Christian should pray the prayer of mercy. Every Christian should pray the prayer of mercy. And I explained to you how to pray those prayers. When the Lord says, come and wait upon me for 7 days, it's not the time for you to just say, tell your wife, okay, lock the kitchen. Some people, if they are fasting, that means everybody in the house must fast. They are that wicked. Eh? You will be cranky, you will be mad at everybody. But, sir, you are the one that God said, he didn't tell us. So why don't you move to the church? You are cranky. Why is the TV on? Olga, you are the one that is fasting. We are feasting. Some people, if they are fasting like this, one God says fast. If it's the wife, the husband is in trouble. That 1 week, eh? Waiting the husband, I go see. The husband will just say, Ekpele, sir. Sorry, sir. It should be 7 days. Remain 3 days. We're encouraging you. We're encouraging. Because even if you want to drink water, you will go and take it yourself. Don't marry who will give you hypertension. Marry a Christian. And for you innocent brothers, who think what you see is the way it is, a woman must have something to respect about you. There must be something. If not, you are in trouble. Either you must be influential, you are wealthy, or you must have unusual grace. Anointing. If you say it like this, it's happening. A woman doesn't follow anybody she thinks for. If she thinks for you, she's the husband. So for you single brothers, may God give you what it takes to be a man. Amen. You see that it was the married men answering. They don't know the meaning of that prayer. One day you wake up, everybody is married except you. Shall I'm praying for you now. You refuse to say amen. I say God will give what it takes to be a man. Amen. So end of third service. We are now in the fourth service now. Go to Exodus 24. Some of you don't know that there are men. When they want to enter the house, they are afraid. Their hearts begin to beat like it wants to come out. Go to verse 4. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord and rose up early in the morning and built an altar under the hill and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. Verse 5. We've addressed this one. And he sent young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. So stay here. Now, I was saying to you that every time you erect an altar, there must be a sacrifice on it. Among the items that were mentioned here is what we call the peace offering. The peace offering is that type of offering where you are asking for forgiveness from the Lord. So you get the animal, you place your hand on it, and you begin to pray. All your sins comes upon that animal. It was symbolic of redemption. So when you do that, you put that animal, now represents you. All right? So you put it on the altar. In some other cases, Moses said you can release the animal. It goes into the forest, and as it goes, so goes your sin. Me, I like this one. Because, well, this is just me. It's not. The idea is that when you have committed sin, God understands that when you want to come to Him, many times you will be limited or restricted because of your personal failures. So God says, beckon to the mercy of the finished work of Christ. Beckon to it. A lot of us, not only do we prove to be righteous amongst our friends, we also look to God as if we did Him a favor. We don't say it, though, but it is our body language. And God knows, and Jeremiah knows, everybody knows you in heaven, that's the man that died for everybody's sins. They know you. And if I have to address this, I will not go into the issue of pride. But not for today. When you want to build an altar, you must understand the place of sacrifice. Now, the concept of sacrifice is not restricted to Christianity alone. It is a commodity that everyone in the spiritual realm knows. That's why even when you go to some of these other religions, they will tell you to bring this or bring that. I used to attend one church many years ago. I will not mention the name of that church. Somebody was very sick. A member of the church, very sick. The man was dying. They brought the man to church. The pastor of the church could not do the deliverance. They went to call a particular prophet. Say that's his area of specialization. The prophet told them they should go and look for a tall banana tree or plantain tree. Cut the trunk as big as it is. Bring it. I've seen high level occultism. The man began to say some words. Then he told them, dig the ground. Put as big as that trunk was. They put the trunk inside the ground. And he was telling them, as I bury this trunk, I transfer the sickness into, this is you in the ground. I replace you with this trunk. Because you are supposed to die. Say, so I replace you with this trunk. Those who want you dead, we hear that you have died, but you will live. And the man was saying some words, buried the trunk, that man recovered. So for those of you that say, it's not about power, it's not about power, you don't know anything. A witch said, in Hollywood, in California, they do blood sacrifices, human blood. How many of you do man blood? Even those of you who say your parents are in village, they don't do human blood sacrifice. White people still do blood sacrifice. Yeah, they said the film came out in 3 days. It grossed $3 billion. $20 billion. When you look at the film, you are even asking yourself. Because between Yomi and myself, we know it is After Effects, Da Vinci Resolve. We know all the softwares we are going to use to give it the effect. You see Spider-Man up and down. The guy did not leave the parlor. But when they are done, They just take this clip, cut it. You take 10 minutes, take 10 minutes. All of us will be editing, giving it a level of detail. When you come out, well, when the film is done, they bring it to the witches in Hollywood. Meanwhile, in Hollywood, there are departments. There are those that major in sound production, and some people major in the editing. Some are in the production. They go to the site, the location, they film. And there are different departments, different sections in the movie industry. But there are also some other people, they are called witches. That's their own department. When you are done with your movie, bring it to us. And they, for 7 days, 14 days, depending on what you want, they will begin to make incantations. They said, you are going to change the title of this movie. The God said this title is not good. What do we call it? Call it 50 Shades of Grey. Say grey. It doesn't carry the name it like that. And you will just notice, you go on Netflix, that's the only thing that will be popping up. Oh. Until one, you say, what's even this 50 Shades of... Bam, you just sit down. 20 minutes. 30 minutes. Aha. 1 hour. By the time they are done with you, they would now drop you at the bus stop. 1 hour, 48 minutes. Your brain has been tampered with. You will now look at the lady you want to marry. But why are you just a Christian like this? Everything about you Christian. So if you marry now, this is your Christianity. This is your little, you cannot have a touch of Dalizek with a touch of Nicki Minaj. Everything about you just church. No where you're ringing, no where. They start tampering with your mind. In your dreams, you start imagining vain things. And because nobody knows what's on your mind, you would have gone far before any brother would have said, this brother needs help. When you listen to some 3 minute song, what's the big deal about the song? 20 million downloads. What is it? You listen to it, it's like a magnet. It pulls you. So don't play games. The people, everybody who has played in the spiritual realm knows that you must know how to erect altars. You must know the law of sacrifice, because that, and the law, the highest sacrifice that can be given in the spiritual realm is blood. Blood. Even Satan doesn't play with that one. If you think Satan is very free, ask him to help you. And then he will tell you, give me your mother, give me your father. Or he will tell you you will never have children all your life, but I'll give you what you want. You will never be. There are women that have been losing their babies every six weeks. They are not aware that their husband did something, and oh my God. Did you hear the testimony? One testimony that was it Baba Molen that was sharing it about somebody that wanted to marry a lady, and that the lady was supposed to die. That in their family they have a covenant. Okay, Pastor Koti, right? He said that's the covenant in that family. The first woman you marry must die. The brother is in church. Dancing, singing. And Pastor Koti said, look, you can't marry this brother. Ah, no. So, go and ask him. What happens to the first wife that anybody in your family marries? And the brother went innocently. What happens to you? Hey, how did you know? Who told you? Where are you coming from? I say something there here. That's how the lady escaped. The wedding was 2 weeks from there. And I ask you a question. If there's a trap in front of you, how long will it take you to know that there's something here launched against me? Let me tell you. You must give the sacrifice of time. You must give the sacrifice of praise. You must make the sacrifice of prayer. You must make the sacrifice of concentration and commitment to God. Listen to me. The spirit realm works on the rule of sacrifice. If you say you are following Christ and all you are still arguing about is your tithe, you don't know God. God will take everything. The tithe, that your tithe, is the least thing that God will take from you. Because when Jesus died, he didn't die for part of you. He died for all of you. The reason why some people can pray now and you are seeing result now, it depends on their level of alignment. And you cannot pray, you cannot fast, and all your friends, there are people that go to clubs. None of them can pray, none of them can fast. Now, there are a few things. Now, look at verse 8 very quickly. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you concerning all these words. Now, stay with me because we are out of time here. At the end of this short session, you have the basic tools to erect a family altar. Are you listening to me? I'm giving you the... So go and listen to the first message. Add it to this one. You have given you the basic tools to erect a personal altar, family altar, especially if what you are seeing in your family is not what you like. You can change it. If you like, shout that I am anointed, I am this. If you don't know what to do, you don't know what to do. And spiritual things require training. Why do you think Jesus told the disciples, study till you are endued? Don't you know that the first test Jesus gave them was in their ability to even tarry? That's the first test. 500 people saw him when he went to heaven, when Jesus ascended. As at the day that the Holy Spirit came, there were 120. How many left? 380. If you are in a church that had 500 members, and in 40 days, 380 people say, we are not coming to this church again, won't you reconsider your position? You are saying, it's like there's something some people are not, like there's one evil in that church. Let's not go today. But God was not with the majority. 380 people who saw that. So they say, if Jesus can just appear to me today, if I can just see him once, I will ask him so many questions about my life, about my destiny. After that, I'll be settled. I will serve him all my life. My brother, some people saw him koro like this. They were not even waving. Odigbao, come soon, Lord Jesus. Hey, he's going, can you see him? Some were even crying. The women there were crying. Peter was confused that, hey, how will I manage all these people? They were crying. Now, there the thing end, though. 40 days later, I'm going to say, I want to go and check on my children. I got to saw my children crying. And they say we should tarry. Brother Peter, I will come, eh? They don't see him again. This one say, where he parked the car, they removed the engine. He needs to go and buy a new engine. What the master say is tarry. People went about for legitimate concerns. Bari, now 120 remain. And the Bible said they were in one accord. So that means it's possible for those 120 to have been tempted also. But you know Peter, he has already strayed before. So he knows that at all, him and John will remain. All these other people. You know Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there. Some people say, Mary, the mother of Jesus, she went to heaven. She spoke in tongues. Mary, the mother of Jesus, spoke. Religion will tie you down. Mary, the mother of Jesus. Yes. That's the mother of Jesus. I know you have one calendar in your room where she was doing like this. With one, that is not Mary. That's a demon. The real Mary. Shakatabaya. Shata. Yekaba. That's Mary. She was there. When the Spirit came, he fell on her. The other time he came into her. This time he fell on her. He spoke in tongues. But the first test was to what? Tarry. This is the one most people have problem with. Because when God says tarry, he will not tell you when he will come. That's the only problem. Now, speaking about the blood of Jesus, how do we dispense this? You dispense this through the words of your mouth. I have heard a lot of people say, well-meaning Christians, well-meaning believers, you don't need to plead the blood of Jesus. I say, I agree. Whatever you say, you are right. Whatever you say, you are right. Look at what was done here. Now, the scripture says, let the lifting of your hands be as the evening sacrifice. God equated the killing of an animal, the evening sacrifice, to the lifting of our hands. Which means most of the things that you saw in the Old Testament were substituted and changed either by something Jesus did or by something we can now do, like symbolic, to replace. In this case, he says, sprinkle the blood on the people. But we don't have the blood of Jesus physically with us. How do you think this sprinkling works? Have you read in the scripture where the word of God says that the blood of Abel does what? The blood of Abel what? Speaks. But the blood of Jesus, he speaks better things. So the blood of Jesus works by speaking. His modus operandi is by speaking. So for instance, when you sit in the church like this and the word of God is being taught, you may not realize, but the blood of Jesus is flowing. Everywhere there is a speaking of the word of God, the blood of Jesus flows. That is why you may come into church feeling depressed. Oh, the sin I committed yesterday. And you sat in church. By the time we share the grace and you go, you notice the burden is... Have you had that experience before? Because what the scripture says, when you are in the light, as it's in the light, it says we have fellowship with one with another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us. That one is not asking for forgiveness. The moment the blood flows, it washes everybody clean. You live there feeling restored, feeling there living, okay, I'm back with God. I can pray now. You don't feel guilty anymore. That is how the blood of Jesus works. In another case, because the blood of Jesus speaks better things, the only response I as a human being can give is to also speak what the blood is speaking. So in this case, while we have the animal on the altar and the blood which has already been shed for us, what do I do? I'm praying for my family. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the mercy that we are found in the blood of Jesus. I bring shame under the covering of the blood. I bring mercy. I bring Fatima. I bring Judah. I bring Chidima. You begin to mention the names of your siblings. Or deliberate. You are not rushing. I bring under the covering of your blood. I thank you because the work of the blood is perfect. I thank you, Lord, because you are purifying our mind and you are purifying our spirit. I'm bringing her into God encounters. I thank you. It's not this, I believe blood of Jesus. No, slow down. You are rushing. You are praying for specific people. Before you do I plead the blood, that lazy thing, calm down. We are praying systematically. When you focus on Tunde, you will focus on him until you are done. You plead the blood of Jesus because you are administering something like a priesthood, like a priest. You are in the position of a priest administering something. There is no rush. Why do you think that warlocks and wizards will stand up, some of them with only one leg, or some of them, their legs will not touch the ground at night, and they are repeating only one thing? Destroy, 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 destroy. Overnight, a young man said he has never seen his father sleep at night. His father is a wizard. Sleeps in the day. Said the spirits will not let him sleep. And if you listen closely, go to his room, he's only saying one thing. He says sometimes when he's not saying those things, you'll see him will be dancing in front of the oracle. He's the only one there. The boy couldn't see the other spirits. And then when the man comes and points to a building, the building catches fire. You are a priest. The reason why you have a problem with what I'm saying is because you don't understand priesthood. And one of the tenets of priesthood is what? Intercession. It may be your right, but you may need to file a claim in court. It may be your right, but you may need to file an appeal in court. And say, this thing was taken out of my family. We want it back. This man that fought Biafra, Ojukwu. Do you know this WAEC? Somewhere in Yabai. This WAEC building. I don't know if they moved it. Do you know Ojukwu? Well, some of you did not. You did not do Nigerian history. Do you know that the land in Lagos, where WAEC buildings belongs to Ojukwu's family? Yes. Okay. So this is 3101 or 001. When the war started, the government seized that property from, in order to punish him. They said the government has now taken over the whole. It was a massive plot of land in Yaba here. It was Babangida that returned the plot to him. What did he do? He went to IBB to appeal. This war is between me and Gowon. Gowon is gone. Me too, I'm not fighting again. Help me. Some, it may be your right, but you need to appeal. Say, Father, this is what my grandfather did when he was alive. He killed an innocent woman. I don't know somebody I was praying for some time ago. I can't even remember who that person is. The person's grandfather. Okay, yeah, yeah. I think the person lives in another country, maybe New Zealand or somewhere. She reached out to me. I told the person, I said, your forefathers committed a crime. She said, it's true. Say, my grandfather raped a young girl in the house, a girl of 8 years old. And since that time, all the girls in our family have been suffering. The man is dead, though. But she's a Christian. She's a child of God. She's a child of God. And she said, look, if you like, go and listen to all these American preachers that tell you, this is my Bible. Oga, that one is good if you don't have anything pursuing you. I said to some of you, and I said this with every sense of, before you go to some churches, especially if you want to fry your hair, go to MFM first. Let them settle the problem in your life. Before you start, you as a brother, you want to start frying your hair. Before you fry your hair, come, let us repair what your father damaged. So that when you start frying your hair, nothing will disturb you. So people don't know. And it means you have to learn how to file an appeal. Father, this is what my grandfather did. Huh? Let me give an example. Your grandfather beat is your grandmother, beat her many times, she was wounded. You saw your father do the same thing to your mother. Huh? You saw your father, like in my own case now, my dad hit my mom when she was pregnant with me. And my mom started bleeding. They rushed my mom and me to the hospital. God knows that he wants to use me. He protected me and I'm here. But do you know that because of what my father did, that was what delivered my father from drinking beer. I was the one that God used to deliver my father. I started working miracle in the womb. It's a small thing. You know. The man, they drink. You understand? He's a social drinker. If you see all his pictures, some of you, if you see your parents' picture when they're on campus, you notice they are with their friends with all these green bottles. You are looking at me. I'm talking about your father. I'm talking about your father. Your parents who... My dad was in Ife. Oh, University of Ife. They were cooling with his friends. With bottle. That was what was raining. He mistakenly hit my mom. The drink cleared from his eyes. And here I am today. I came into this world with a strong hatred for alcohol. If you want to tempt me, it's not alcohol you use. If the way you bring the package, 10 years later you come and carry, because I will just use it the thing as a chair. I'll be sitting on it because it doesn't make any meaning to me. My soul hates it. And it was that thing my dad did that delivered him. That's why my dad had a problem in the office. The day he heard that your son has been born was the day they called him, that problem has been cancelled. That's why he named me Oluwagbenga. So some people, they are destined, they brought you from wherever they are coming from. But I'm telling you, in case your own is not like that. Huh? Because sometimes when we think about foundation, we're always looking at women. In your own case, it may be the brothers. You saw the way this man beat his wife. You saw the way now your brother too is showing the same sign. Or you saw your dad or your grandfather sent your grandmother out of the house. Your dad did the same thing to your mom. Now one of your sisters is saying she wants to leave her husband. You are seeing the pattern. So instead of you to be arguing with your keypad and saying the Bible says we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, come, let me help you. We are going to file an appeal. You are a child of God. This should not be happening to you. Even that your sister, she can be helped. So we'll file a case. Father, we'll come in the blood of Jesus. We'll not come in our own righteousness. We'll make an appeal for this family that this sentence be put aside. and that the righteousness of God be established. We can stay on that one. You see this thing I just said? We can stay on it for 3 days. Father, we ask that this sentence be put aside. We are repeating the same thing until we receive that witness. Bam! The problem is that Jesus said, tarry in Jerusalem. Many of us don't want to tarry. And there are some things that require tarrying. Is it not better for you to shut down for 3 days? Settle this thing. Instead of you to be shouting amen and typing amen on early morning prayer. Type amen. That one will not save you. We need to file an appeal. There is a case against your bloodline. In the spiritual realm, they don't know faces. They know bloodline. Is it from the bloodline? Okay, same thing apply. High blood pressure. That's how they'll be doing it. Somebody was brought from Kaduna here. She's on dialysis. She's 28 years. What is a 28-year-old girl doing with kidney failure? Her sister is 25. She just died. Kidney failure. And somebody's telling me, I don't know what I'm saying. Do you know the pain of praying for somebody and the person still dies? I'm talking to you about how to raise an altar that will cancel out everything they have done before. Because whether you like it or not, 300 years before now, all of us, our parents were idol worshippers. My grandfather, they dashed him after I came back from the Civil War. They dashed him a second wife. So that means there's something in that bloodline about women. They dashed him. The man doesn't have money, but they gave him second wife. I'm attending the funeral of one of the children now, this week. Don't close your eyes and say, it doesn't matter. It matters. So that your children won't fight that battle. You must be trained in the art of spiritual warfare. And one of the elements you must deal with, instead of you to begin, you can raise this altar yourself and start praying in a systematic way, such that you can see your progress. Some of you are here. You knew your dad when he was in his 30s, in his 40s, how he was doing very well. The moment he hit 50, things started going down. Can you relate to that kind of story? He wasn't getting contracts again. Nothing was happening. And he said, hey, daddy is struggling. Daddy is struggling. Oga, raise an altar. An altarless zone is free for any spirit. A region without altar is free for all. Anybody can come there and claim that land. Anywhere Abraham went, once God speaks to him, he raises an altar. Anytime God says, I will still give you that child, he raises an altar. Go home, raise an altar for your children. Don't let them grow up and become wayward. Mention their name. Lord, this one, I hand over to you. You are the one that can take care of this child. Lord, I hand over this one to you. Mention her name. This one will serve you. I am her father. I served you. This one will continue that lineage. She will not fight my battles. You pray in a systematic and consistent way. The way I began to hear your voice at the age of 10, she must begin to hear you. Even if somebody rises up to me and tries to poison their mind against, they wake up and say, no, it's not my father. Because the one with the loudest voice in the spirit realm, we take the day. Come on, say, sprinkle the blood. You are going to sprinkle the blood by your words. Go to verse 16, let's round up. Let me show you something about something I just said now. Verse 16. Are you blessed this morning? You are going to go home and practice these things. Many of these prayers we are praying, it's not for you. Because you are already the righteousness of God. But your children are still young. Some of you don't even have kids yet. Some of you have brothers who don't have this knowledge. You can stand as an intercessor over them, pending when they come to Christ. Look at verse 16. And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for many days. And on the seventh day, he called, that is God, he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. How many days was Moses on that mountain before God called him out? How many days in total do we have here? When did God speak? The 6 days in call? He waited. He waited. So what do I do when I'm waiting? This is something you need to know. What do I do when I'm waiting? When Jesus said to the disciples, tarry here in Jerusalem until you are endued with the Spirit from on high. Jesus did not tell them to sing or dance or praise or anything. But we looked at Peter. What were they doing? They were praying. Then Peter was teaching them. If you look at the scripture, Peter was teaching them the scriptures. God gave him a temporary grace. He was able to teach the people, you know, and encourage them in that moment of waiting for God. Because you cannot preempt God. You cannot preempt God. There are things you think you know. There are things you felt God robbed you of. There are people that way back on campus, I used to be like, if I can just marry this girl can do ministry. This girl can do this girl can do that. Today we all meet in the future. And I say, thank God, oh, God saved me. You don't know anything. You don't know anything. You only know what is in front of you. The same way some of you still don't know that you don't have friends in the office. This man stood in God's presence 6 days. Do you know the level of discipline it takes to be without your family and you are just waiting for God? So what are you doing? When you are tired, take your pillow, sleep. Wake up again. As you are praying, you are meditating. When you are tired, you begin to sing and dance. You are waiting. Not that you cross leg, checking Google News. Then Michael will come. Baba, I'm there. Now Google News, this boy, this guy they read. Now Google News, this boy they read. They check email. God say cut off that network. See, but there was data. Data exhausted. Oh, God don't catch you. Start praying. There are some people that cannot pray without their phone. You don't know. This generation of, let me not say Gen Z, let me say this generation, all of us together. Many of us cannot pray without our phone. We are not used to being isolated. So we need a lot of songs. It's not a bad thing, but you need to train yourself with hard surfaces. Train yourself with hard surfaces so that if you now have a song, it's a plus. This guy waited for 6 days, and on the seventh day, put up that scripture, on the seventh day, God called out to him in the midst of the cloud. Verse 17. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like what? Devouring fire. When Moses saw God, when he saw the glory of the Lord, it's not just fire. Have you seen billows of fire? Have you seen waves like on the ice? Do you know there are some waves that can lift a car? He saw devouring fire. Devouring. Like this thing, anything he touches, consumes it. At the top of the mount, in the eyes of the children of Israel. The things that Moses saw, they were too much for God to allow his body fall into the hands of Satan. But I dare say to you, even Moses was not even half as strong as we are. The kingdom is on your inside. Huh? God has taken... Moses did not have God inside of him. What God has put inside of you is a direct connection to the throne. When you lift up your voice and begin to sing and chant, they know that their son is awake. Your voice is a terror in the kingdom of darkness. You don't know how strong God has made you. The reason why you are afraid of Satan is because you don't know. Knowledge is important. You need to know. Just because you don't see fire sitting on your head doesn't mean it's not there. The scripture said that on the day of Pentecost, When the Holy Ghost came down, the Bible said he sat upon their heads and there was cloven tongues of fire on their head. But I hope you know that when the people downstairs came up, they didn't see that tongue of fire. It was only those in that community that knew that there was cloven tongues of fire. And they began to speak. Every time God is beginning to move in your life, he will give you words. He will give you utterance. All of a sudden, you will be able to express yourself. You will be able to speak words. You will have the words. They may be few, but they will be mighty. You will just wake up and say, look, this family is not going down. Nobody is dying in this family again. You will just wake up that morning with holy anger and you say, today this madness stops. It stops. This situation where only one person rises up at time. Only one person rises up at time. Then when the witches finish that one, and that person will rise up again. This time around, we are all rising together. This time around, this family is rising. We are rising together. No more shall it be said, oh, that family, when they used to be the main family, no, the devil is a liar.
Yes.
God's covenant with you is yea and amen. God says yes to you. I say God is saying yes to you. God is saying yes to you. God is not the one fighting you. God is the one defending you. And God says yes to you. I say God is saying yes to you. God is no longer saying no. He's the one who says yes to you. He's saying yes to your dreams. He's saying yes to your prophecy. He's saying yes, you can be everything that you want to be. And he's empowering you. I don't look for demons anyway, but if you come across my path, I crush you. I don't go looking for no demons. I'm not demon conscious. But if you cross my path, then you're in trouble. Because I heard him when he said, behold, I give unto you power over snakes and scorpions and over all, come on, say all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. God has not given them power to touch you. I said, God has not given the enemy power to touch you. I said, God has not given the enemy power to touch you. If they touch you, they get consumed. If they touch you, they get consumed. If they touch you, they get consumed. Oh, le makata yenema. I said, if they touch you, they get consumed. Stop seeing yourself. Start seeing the one who lives on the inside of you. You will never be the same again. There are people who have struggled with their self-identity. Forget about your self-identity. See Jesus. Forget about your self-identity. There's nothing wrong with your height. There's nothing wrong with your skin color. There's nothing wrong with your being demure. There's nothing wrong with you. Jesus says yes to you. Jesus says yes to you. Jesus says you will not be ordinary. Jesus says you will not be ordinary. Jesus is the one clapping for you. Because he has seen your end. And it was a glorious one. I said Jesus sees your end. And it is a glorious one. I said Jesus sees your end. And it was a glorious one. Look, listen to me. When Stephen died, we got a peek into how Jesus responds. When his servants come home, the Bible said the whole of heaven was standing. Jesus was standing. Come, my servant. And the man that was being stoned, his face brightened. I can see my Lord. I can see the one who died for me. He didn't feel the pain. He stepped out of mortality into glory. He was welcomed by the host of heaven. Listen to me. By the time you are done on this earth, the whole heaven will be standing. Listen. You heard what I said. But now you need to see who God has made you. That you have a comeback anointing. You have a comeback anointing. That whatever the devil has taken from you, today, just by deciding, you take it back. Do you believe this morning? Rise on your feet. Rise on your feet. And begin to take back whatever Satan has taken from you. Begin to take back.